everybody. Welcome back to episode 4 of Untamed Terrain, our podcast about traversing life's chaos with our blended family of 9 kids. I'm Laurie.
I'm Tommy.
And we are coming to you live from AZ Podcast. We are at Backlot Studios today and just want to give a huge shout out to the crew here. When Tommy and I started, or even had the idea for a podcast, we didn't even know what we wanted to talk about. We knew we had a lot of experience, but really no direction and absolutely no experience. And the crew here has just been outstanding in not only getting us off onto this journey together, but in teaching us how to do it.
Yeah. So if you're interested in getting started with a pod or a podcast and even a small business, they offer some great tutelage and even offer their time for free. They have a space where you can work. And so the guys at AZ Pod have been great.
Yeah, they really have been. We will share their website below, and we encourage you, if you're interested, reach out to them. They're pretty great. And the studios, the facilities are amazing. Anyway, into the meat of our episode today, we wanted to talk a little bit about spirituality and raising kids. Mm-hmm. And so I'm actually going to let Tommy start off with his origin story for spirituality. Yeah.
So I was raised Catholic. I was small town, Yuma, Arizona, and my grandparents kind of led the way as far as our family's upbringing. They were devout Catholics. They went to church every Sunday, and so did we. So as grandkids started to come about, we spent most of our weekends with them, so that included going to church. I learned quite a bit about why they believed in the church and what their process was, but we didn't, once church was over, we went and did our normal things on Sunday. We watched games. We hung out with my grandparents. And for me, going to church was kind of a routine. It just became something that we did. There were moments when I would hear something or go through a time where I felt like I wanted spiritual help. I needed spiritual help. I believed, but like I said, with the Catholic Church, and I don't know if you've sat through many masses, but it's repetition. Mm-hmm. So we kind of learned, like as kids, we kind of go through the motions and we reach out to God when we feel like we need him, as our payoff in believing in that religion and believing in him. And so with that, that was kind of where we started with religion for me and spirituality. And I remember there were a few times when I thought, okay, I really need some guidance here. So maybe it was in bed or maybe it was just off on my own. I would kind of to myself say a short prayer and hope that it would be answered. And so that was where we started. And as we continue and we'll get your origin, I'll kind of let you know where that went off track.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you were raised, the Catholic religion is a very guilt-ridden religion.
Yes.
I also was raised in a very guilt-ridden religion. I grew up in Utah. And so draw your conclusions. Yeah, I was LDS. I was born and raised in the LDS church, or Mormon, if you know it as that. And my parents were not, there's a backstory behind my mom, and we'll get into that, I guess. You know, we're eventually going to get into our families a little bit, but my parents were not super uptight. Mm-hmm. We were not by the book Mormons. You would kind of consider us Jack Mormons, though. You know, we didn't have like coffee in our house. We had decaf coffee. My parents would drink Coca-Cola, but we never had alcohol in the house. My dad was a smoker for a while, but he actually stopped smoking when he and my mom got married in the temple when I was about, I think it was about 6 years old when they got married in the temple, and we were sealed to them. And, there weren't a lot of those against our religion vices. We would go to church pretty much every Sunday, mm-hmm. but, you know, after church on Sundays, we'd go to the drive-in movie together, which, you know, was against our religion. So I guess in that way, we kind of were Jack Mormons. I grew up in the church. I went to seminary when I was in high school, 4 years of religious studies. I did, my young women's program, got my personal progress. But, you know, life goes on and you experience life and you kind of get a crisis of faith, or at least an awakening to what you believe in. So I want to talk a little bit about yours, because yours is a big deal.
Yeah. I had moved to Phoenix when I was 10, and I was a freshman in high school, I think, when I, I was a little older than that. Anyway, when my brother was 11, my half brother on my mom's side, he was the next oldest sibling. He was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and he was 11 years old, and you know, he fought it for a good almost 2 years, and in that time, you know, we went to church and we prayed that he would find healing in some way, and had a lot of events that were kind of wrapped around spirituality and faith and hoping that something would step in and intervene. And so Brian passed away when he was 13. I was 21. And at that point, I really hadn't been involved in church at all after moving to Phoenix. My dad and I never really went to church. I did grow up around a lot of friends who were religious, but when that happened, it took my faith and my belief and all of it and just completely knocked it off kilter. There was no way that I was going to believe that any kind of God or any kind of belief in religion would let that happen to such an amazing kid. And so for years, I really didn't have any connection to any religion, any organized religion. I don't even remember really praying that much in any kind of way. I did find solace in being outdoors, being close to nature, especially being at the beach. Those were things that I felt connected to, that I felt touched me in a spiritual way. And so a lot from 20 to about almost 40 years old, there was really no tie to any kind of spiritual belief.
Right.
I found some good moments in those outdoor and being in nature and going back to being grounded. That's kind of where I found my spirituality. And so I did do a yoga teacher training back. We'll get back to that in a second, but we'll go to you and kind of see how your evolution.
Yeah. Happened. I wanted to, you know, to also talk about, you know, yours was a real crisis of faith. Yeah. You almost stopped believing in anything you'd been taught. Mine was a little different. When I was 19, I got married in the temple the way mm-hmm. good Mormon girls do. My husband at the time was a very strict LDS. And, you know, I did the right things for the first few mm-hmm. years we were married. I got pregnant at 20, which was a little earlier than I anticipated. But I put my education on hold. I stopped going to college so I could raise my children. And it wasn't until I had my second child that I decided that as much as I loved what I was taught, because there's a lot of peace that I found in my religion. Mm. I couldn't be a good Mormon wife. I was too ambitious. I wanted a career.
Right.
And when I told my husband that, he was not okay with it. He wanted somebody who was going to be the trad wife, stay home barefoot and pregnant, raise their kids and be happy with that. But as I mentioned, it was a very guilt-laden religion. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter how many times I went to the temple. It wasn't enough. It didn't matter how much I gave to fast offerings, which is basically a contribution, a donation that you make to the church to take care of other people. It wasn't enough. I needed to pay my tithing on my gross income, not my net income. So, you know, to put that in layman's terms, I needed to pay tithing on what I was making before the government took their taxes. If I wanted gross right. blessings, I needed to pay a gross tithing. So we were living on 10%, more than 10% less than what we were making. You know, so there was a lot of sacrifice, but no matter how many sacrifices I made, it wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. And now I wasn't going to be allowed to have the life I wanted to live and still be a good Mormon wife. So we ended up getting divorced. And in that divorce process, I found out what the church was really like, especially to divorced people. And that's what shook my faith in the church, not in spirituality necessarily, but in religion and organized religion. But at that time, you know, when you had your crisis of faith, you didn't have kids. When I had my crisis of faith, I had two children. And so navigating spirituality with children is kind of what the goal is in us talking about this podcast, because, you know, we both have been married. We both have had lives outside of our life together. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to help those of you who are blending families or who are having a crisis of faith with how to navigate that and also raise your children so that they, you know, have the space to have their own religious and spiritual beliefs.
I think making them feel comfortable in their choices and giving them some direction, not forcing them into whatever it is we believed. Even if we were going to church every week, maybe they'd tag along. We give them an option, and we've decided, I think, separately and together as parents, that we want to give our kids enough information and enough access to whatever it is they want to follow, talk about it, give them an open dialogue, no matter what it is, but especially with finding any kind of spirituality or religion that they choose, that it's okay. Like, it's okay that they choose that, but why are you choosing it? What are you feeling that draws you to that religion, if it were a religion? And I think both you and I have done a good job blending our kids and letting them do their own thing, maybe sometimes too much, but I think giving them an option to choose and the ability to be themselves has always been priority.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about in a previous episode is our family values. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having strong family values, spirituality aside, I think helps form what their beliefs are going to be. I mean, of our 9 kids, no 2 are exactly alike at all. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think any 2 of them have the same spirituality guiding them.
Even having twins in the mix.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, the twins couldn't be more different.
Right.
They really couldn't be. But I think, you know, one of the things that I did with my children is, you know, when my older children, when their dad and I got divorced, he was still very much in the church. And mm-hmm. It was a bad divorce, but I didn't want to rock my children's faith. And so, you know, I started telling them, you know, you need to believe in what you need to believe in. Mm-hmm. And that's okay with me. Your relationship with God is, or the Great Spirit or the universe, is as unique as your relationship with me. And so I'm not going to tell you how to navigate it or what to believe.
Yeah.
But one thing I always did tell my children, and this wasn't to draw them away from the LDS church, was that God is not Catholic and God is not Mormon. God is not Lutheran. Mm-hmm. God is God. And, you know, I use the term God. It could be anything, the Great Spirit, the universe, Allah, what have you. But that individual, that being, is the most perfect parent. And yeah. That being is going to be a better parent to us, and I mean you and I as well, as children, than we are to our own kids. And as much as we fail as parents, that greater being is not going to fail. And that's basically what I taught my kids. I really don't care what you believe in, as long as you are good and happy and your happiness doesn't come at the expense of others.
Yeah, I know you talked a little bit about, and we talked about at home, about your oldest son and his path of testing the waters in many different times.
Oh yeah.
And you know, it's led him to his own success, his own beliefs. And that's, in a nutshell, where we'd like to see all of our kids. That's like, okay, you want to go dive into the Baptist religion? You want to go dive into the Catholic religion? Check it out, you know, and
learn something.
Yeah. Learn something and open your eyes to what other people are trying to see or believe themselves. And I think, and coming back to my own spirituality, there's a quote from Victor Hugo's Les Mis, is to love another person is to see the face of God. And I think that's been my spirituality, is in love.
Yeah.
And never more true than when you and I met, and I've really felt like, okay, I'm connected. Right. I enlightened by something. And I'm passing that on to our children, I think, is the biggest goal for me, at least, is for them to feel loved. For them to feel loved, therefore they have an attachment spiritually to me and to our family, to their mother, to whoever it is, that they feel strength in that they feel strength in love.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things I've noticed about the people that I grew up with who were raised very strict LDS, the vast majority of them have fallen away from the church. Yeah. It's almost like the more you force something down somebody's throat, or the more you spoon feed them, the less you allow them to explore their own beliefs, the more likely they are to rebel. And when they rebel so hard. Yeah. You know, it's been shocking to me to see how many people actually hate the church now because they were told that they had to believe it.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I've always wanted for our children is for them to know that we love them, like you said, no matter what they believe in, as long as they're good and happy, that we're okay with that, whether it's about spirituality or not. And that their relationship with spirituality is not the same as ours. And they know that. I think your kids know what your spirituality is. Mm-hmm. And my kids know what my spirituality is. And one of the things I really want to draw a difference in here, and I know we've talked about this on our many road trips, is the difference between religion and spirituality. That, you know, organized religion is created generally by man, and I don't mean the male species, I mean mankind, and it has all the failings. But spirituality is a true north. It is a true sense of purpose, a true sense of value and love and service.
Yeah. And it's not that this isn't to bash religion and say that you believing in a religion is wrong, because that's completely so far from the truth of what we're trying to say. It's what guides you, what do you find in the church? What do you find in the scripture or whatever it is that you're studying in your religion, in your spirituality, in the Quran and whatever it may be, what guides you and what lifts you up to that point to where you feel enlightened? You feel, like you said, you have a true north. And I think going back to the kids being able to find their own way and to make their own choices, I think giving them that insight to say it's okay to make a mistake, whether it's in life or you chose a religion that, I don't really like this. You don't have to be tied to anything, but you do have to have some sort of guidance. You do have to have some sort of north.
Something that's keeping you good.
Something that's keeping you good. And for them, it's hopefully us. You know, we're a guidance for them. And so our spirituality and our beliefs align with each other's to a point to where they can look to us and say, well, how did you handle that? What did you feel when you went through this situation? Hopefully with our experience and our ups and downs in life and how we found spirituality, that gives them a guidance, that gives them a north.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, for you and I think our kids have the freedom to do what they want when it comes to religion, if there is.
And them choosing something different doesn't mean we failed as parents. As a matter of fact, them choosing something different means we've actually succeeded, because they know no matter what they choose, even if it is different than what we believe, they're going to be loved no matter what.
Yeah.
And that's the true win when it comes to parenting.
Yeah. And I think at the end of the day that they feel loved, they feel that security in coming home and having that place be their own sanctuary, their own church, if you will. That's a good place for them to be comfortable. And then, we did our job right. So anyway,
well, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. It's been fun to talk about, and we look forward to sharing more of our chaos with you as we go on.
For sure. So guys, tune in. Plenty more episodes to come, and check us out on Instagram, YouTube, and we'll have all the links in the bio.
Yeah. And if you have a suggestion or a question or a topic we should talk about, drop us an email. Our email address is below, or visit us on our website and fill out a comment card there.
All right. Thank you guys. We'll see you next time.